Hello, everyone. So first off, something I've been meaning to say for lots and lots of weeks. If everyone tells a friend about this podcast, more people listen to it.
Bold of you to assume I have friends.
Yeah, so tell your friends about this. Please do. It's the best way to help us
and tell us about
get more people listening.
A little bit of word of mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, and more people listening means we can make better things for you guys.
Better than this? The bar is that high, is it?
Okay.
Can't go any lower.
We've got an email again. This one is from Maya.
Maya.
Or Maya. She says, "Hello, Sci Guys. My mom is always trying to get me to listen to podcasts, but none of them really interest me. That is, until yours came out. I've been following all of you guys for a very long time."
That's concerning.
"Well, except Luke."
Oh, except Luke.
Sorry, Luke.
Even me.
That's funny, because Luke...
I don't think they know you're here yet.
Well, this is Dan, everyone.
Who is it?
Keep the mystery alive.
Luke,
come on.
Voice.
Luke, you sound so different. What's happened?
I thought for a second it was good that Emo was going to start with, like, "I don't listen to podcasts regularly. Can you recommend some?"
Including yours.
She goes on to say, "And I've really grown to love your content you put out. Now that I listen to your podcast, I find myself really enjoying it every week and listening to the old ones again and again. I see you just released an episode with Evan, who also happens to be the bulk of my YouTube watching."
Oh, nice.
That's a shame, isn't it?
"And all I could say is I'm so excited to listen. Thanks so much for the amazing content. And Luke, I promise to follow you now as well." Okay, shall we start the show?
No. I'd like to talk more about
that. See you next week.
Can I ask a question? Do you ever read out emails that are not kind?
We don't get any emails that aren't kind.
Oh, we read out a bad review that was like...
I love
that wasn't a bad review. That was a perfect review.
That's true. They called us like the Chuckle Brothers of...
I saw that one. So before I came, I read the reviews just to see what I was getting myself into. And I really enjoyed... my favourite are one-star reviews where they're just like, "Not for me. Don't
like. Not
for
me, thank you.
Not good.
Not my personal taste.
Is that the one that you left, Dan? I feel like..."
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Great. No, mine was more cutting. Mine was like a... 1,000-word biting essay on why you guys suck.
Full thesis.
Okay, we're starting now. Okay. Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp. But this week, we have a special guest, Daniel J. Layton.
Hi there, that's me.
Who are you, Dan? Tell everyone who you are.
My name is Daniel J. Layton, and I am a YouTuber, vlogger, actor, singer, professional wrestler, mess. All of the above.
Okay. This week, we'll be covering impossible photographs and the ideal black body.
Two very different things.
Things I know a lot about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ideal black box.
I've paid a lot of attention.
Janet Jackson, right?
I was going to say, is this an episode about Janet Jackson? Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know Dan, this episode's going to have a lot of Janet Jackson, a lot of Hillary Clinton, a lot of that.
I'll give you all the knowledge you want. Ask any questions. I'll tell you no lies. Can I just say, it's incredibly strange to hear my own voice. Like, I'm tripping a little bit, but that's fine.
You get used to it, yeah. So, black holes are something we've been obsessed with.
Are we talking about the perfect black body?
The things in space.
Yeah, the things in space. Oh my God.
You invited me. I don't know what you want.
I'm just going to go right into this, okay? Because we're talking about black holes, okay?
You can't leave much open to interpretation.
Listen, can I just say before we begin, I know jack shit about science, so I can't offer any insight or knowledge, but what I can do is just bring the tone right to the floor.
So you're taking James's job then?
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
This might be the first week that nobody guesses what
nobody
the whole
guesses
show is
what
about.
I'm going to be
what the whole show is about in the first 2 minutes.
I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Take me too. On your journey.
Me too.
Come on.
Okay. Do you guys know what black holes are?
Well, black holes, they're that big thing in space that I'm quite scared of because they're eventually going to suck.
No, that's actually your mum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the jokes get worse from here.
That's the end of this.
Just goes down. Just goes down. Yeah, sorry, Dan. I invited you here just to make fun of you.
Wow. Wow.
No, so black holes are actually regions in space where the pull of gravity is so great that even light can't escape
them.
Light
can't get out of it.
That's what I said, just in fewer words.
It's not
exactly... accessible.
Okay. Okay, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Well done, Dan. Well done. So I'm going to be talking about non-rotating black holes mostly today because they're easier.
They're rotating black holes?
Yeah. They're rotating black holes, but they're complicated, and I don't want to get into that today.
Those are the ones that are often in the movies. I guess, where there's a big, like, wide, and it looks like it's...
Oh, like
is that like that? Where it looks like it's, like going down the plug hole?
No, that's just a black hole.
Oh.
I mean, realistically, you can't see a black hole. They're invisible, because light can't get out of them.
That's true.
But what's there, then, that you can see?
I mean, you can...
Like, if I'm standing in front of a black hole, how do I know?
I mean, for one thing, you'll be sucked into it.
Yeah, but I'm standing a distance, enough of a distance away that, like if I hold a vacuum cleaner at you, it's not going to suck you in, but if I get closer, it will. Same with a black hole. If I'm standing a nice distance away from a black hole...
It's just nature's vacuum cleaner.
Riddle me that. How about... Hard-hitting questions. Come on, answer.
You'd see a distortion in space-time. You wouldn't literally see a distortion in space-time, but you would be able to measure a distortion in space-time.
It would look really funky.
You could see maybe light, a ring of light escaping or things being accelerated to the center.
Would it look like an eclipse?
No.
Oh. No.
I mean, okay, I do have a picture of a black hole I'm going to show you later.
I think
because that's what this episode's about.
Corey, a picture. I don't think we're there yet.
We are there, Dan. We are so there. I haven't even got past the first bullet point.
Oh, brilliant. It's going to be a long one, isn't it?
I was going to say, have you got about 3 hours?
Okay, so black holes are a region of space where light can't escape. They are, just like Dan, very dense. They've got a lot of matter compressed into a small space. I'm not going to let you interrupt.
That's probably wise.
Yeah, as I said, they're invisible and they've got different layers. Do you have any idea what those might be called?
Top
layer and bottom layer?
And
is it divided by the event horizon?
That is correct.
Hey. Yeah. What does that mean?
So, the event, do you know what they're
about? Once you go across the event horizon, you can't escape the black hole.
Like the vacuum analogy I had a second ago.
Yeah, you literally can't escape.
I'm really sorry to any people who listen to this show because they care about science. I'm sorry to ruin... If your show literally drops off the radar because of this episode, I can only apologize.
It's the least downloaded episode.
Generally, we've got a dynamic of me telling you about the science, Luke, who kind of knows something,
and then James, me just like...
Who's like, I don't know. Now I've got two Jameses.
I know some stuff about black holes.
I think putting me on a level with James is an insult to James. Like, I feel like that is... Because you just said Event Horizon. I was pretty sure starred like Gerard Butler and came out in 2014.
If you Google Event Horizon, which obviously I did, the first thing to come up is the movie, which is irritating.
Is there a movie called Event Horizon?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
I guess
there
that,
is.
Didn't I? I wish I knew who was in it.
You're coming to our next pub quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Event Horizon, yeah, that's the point at which if you cross it, you can't escape. So light can't escape that point.
Right. Get sucked in.
Get sucked in. And then you've also got the singularity, which is...
I've heard of that, but probably not in the context of truth.
I think you're thinking of the AI singularity.
Probably that, yeah.
Yeah, that's different. So this is the point of space-time where all of the matter kind of is. It's where the mass is concentrated.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah. So all of matter... and mass is concentrated in the singularity.
Correct.
And when that crosses the event horizon, screwed. It's in the black hole.
The singularity is inside the event horizon. Okay.
It's the very center of the black hole, right?
Yeah. So the singularity is literally the black hole. That's what you think of when you think of the black hole. The event horizon is essentially just the edge.
Right.
That's where you differentiate the black hole from not the black
space.
Hole. Space. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
every day is a school day.
When you're asking about what you can see, there's also a photon sphere, which you can technically see, but not necessarily. It's like a ring around the black hole, around the event horizon, where photons can kind of orbit, and if they're not even just a little bit, they'll either go in or out.
Right.
So that's the thing we imagine when we think of a black hole, because we always imagine it with like a ring around it.
Or like it looks like a galaxy itself, but it's not.
But it's
exactly,
not.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. Basically, how this works is, like I said, there's photons kind of orbiting, but it's so temperamental that even the slightest nudge from anything will send them in or out.
Right, okay.
But because of the mass of the black hole, anything coming out would have to have been from something passing.
Wait, so it still comes out of a black hole?
It's not coming out of the black hole. It's just outside the event horizon.
Moving out of orbit.
So it's moving out of orbit of the black hole.
So it's dodged the bullet and now it's on its merry way somewhere else.
But because nothing can come out of the black hole and things can only come in.
What's that film? Contact. Is Contact the film where they go into the black hole?
There's lots of films where they... I think Contact is the one that you might be thinking.
And they come out on the other side and she sees her dead dad or something.
Is it like Sandra Bullock or something?
No, it's
that's
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, that's it, yeah.
I only watched it for the first time recently. It freaked me out.
I don't think I've watched that one.
No, I was... The most recent one is Interstellar.
Interstellar, that's the one.
Oh, and that goes well for about an hour and a half and then loses its way.
It feels like it goes for 3 hours, but yeah.
It does go for 3 hours.
Does it? Oh my God. Yeah, the first hour and a half is 3 hours long.
It's amazing. And then... But no, the first hour and a half... until they get to the water planet, everything is next level. And then it just goes a bit like, oh, okay, you've made some choices. And then I'm fine with that.
Oh,
I thought the first bit was boring. I don't want to be on, I don't want to see them on Earth. He spent so long on Earth.
But that's
the first
part of the
half
tension.
Is like, the first half for me is like really magical, and the second half is just like depression and sadness.
Yeah, I like depression. It's good.
That's
wait,
why you
scientific
like it.
Depression.
The bit in Interstellar that she goes into the black hole, is that when she ends up in the bookcase as a ghost?
That's it's not she. That's
it's Matthew McConaughey.
Sorry, but he's talking to
his daughter.
I'm confused.
Through
I flipped
the bookshelf.
It. I thought Jessica Chastain went into the bookshelf, but he's talking to her.
No, no, he,
because
he's
gone in the black hole.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, back to your story.
Let's go back to the story. Yeah. Okay, so as I've said, light can escape the photon sphere, but anything, as I've tried to say, anything that you do see coming out of the photon sphere hasn't come from the black hole. Mm. It's come from something going in towards the photon sphere.
Right.
Because nothing can come out of the black hole. That's a key point.
Nothing can come out of it. You can't escape.
Yep, you can't escape.
You'll end up as a ghost in a bookshelf.
Basically.
Maybe. We don't know. Look, I can't say that you won't come out as a ghost in a bookshelf.
Thank you.
Because you could. You could.
Thank you for admitting that. That was very big of you.
There are different types of black holes. You heard of that?
Yes, I have. There are black holes and there are rotating black holes.
No.
Tell me I'm wrong. You said you started this podcast with that.
Is this different types of non-rotating black
holes? I'm going to talk about non-rotating black holes.
All right. Big ones.
This is just, okay.
Big ones and not big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Basically. But they're not called that.
Yeah.
They're primordial. Okay.
You better say the word primordial.
I was about to say the word primordial.
I love the word primordial.
I'm glad I could please you, Dan.
Yeah.
Good. So there are primordial black holes.
Yeah.
And those are essentially ones that are thought to have been formed at the start of the universe.
Primordial soup.
They're proper big.
So primordial black holes are theoretical.
Right.
In nature. They can be really, really small. Okay. They could be as small as 10 to the minus 8 kilograms, which is 10 divided by 10, 8 times.
That's very small.
Right. Less than a gram, less than a milligram.
How do you weigh a black hole if it's nothing?
You get it on a set of scales.
For once, I asked a genuine question.
Like I said, these are theoretical.
Right.
So you're not actually weighing it. You're making calculations using formulas that we've derived from just smart people.
But how does that measurement end up as a measurement of mass?
The physics behind this is really complicated.
And I'd like you to tell me about it.
What I'm saying is, if I was to say that I fully understand this myself, I would be lying.
Okay.
Essentially,
should I just go with it?
You can go with it. But essentially, if anyone is wondering, it's just a case of there's a radius beyond which it's not a black hole.
Right.
So we've calculated essentially a radius, like a formula to find a radius for where something is a black hole.
And that's the bit that's measured in.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just need to know how much mass is in that.
Okay.
According to that formula.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a theoretical calculation based on if it had any less mass in that area, then it wouldn't be a black hole.
Okay.
And if it was a smaller area, it couldn't literally exist. It'd be smaller than a Planck length.
Wow.
Which is a very small length. Not a length of an actual plank of wood. Plank with a C.
With a C-K.
C-K. Yeah. Yeah, we've spoken about it before. It's good. Yeah. So primordial black holes are something that Stephen Hawking, you guys...
God love him.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Such
banter as well. Very funny.
Yeah,
he's such
I've
a funny
that.
Guy. He went on The Simpsons so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually came on.
Another show is like Big Bang Theory he went on. And
yeah, but The Simpsons is a good show.
Obviously.
So
the more important show.
Shots fired.
We are a Simpsons-loving podcast, Dan.
And a Big Bang Theory denier, apparently.
To be fair, The Simpsons is still running and Big Bang is not. So
I really wish it wasn't running. The Simpsons is like an aging relative.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, look, he used to be great, but now...
Oh, wow. Miss it when it's gone, though.
I mean,
you
I will.
Won't be ready for it.
No,
when
I don't
it's
want you to go, but I'm just... It hurts that you're still here.
I have to see you.
Right.
But...
Jesus wept. That got dark, didn't it?
Well, it's black holes, Dan. They are
dark. Well, yeah. No, you can't see them. You can't see them. So how do you know? They suck all the light out of it. I'm learning.
So there are also stellar black holes.
Oh, yeah, of course there are.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely stellar.
There we go.
That's a stellar black hole.
Good job, guys. Well done.
Are they from stars?
Yeah, they are. So they form when a massive star collapses on itself.
We are... kind about to approach territory that is going to make me existential and keep me awake for 3 days straight. So I'm going to request that we try not to go into death.
Oh, don't worry. Well, I believe you're going to collapse in on yourself. You're never going to be a massive star.
No, because our son... Wow.
That was clever.
That's cold. And I'm almost upset that I'm not angry about it. I was going to say, the sun is going to blow up and envelop a whole planet. And I know that I won't be around to see it, but that stresses me out in itself.
So the sun can't become a black hole.
It's too small, right?
It's too small. It doesn't have enough mass. So stars up to about 3 times the sun's mass will still not form a black hole. So those will become neutron stars or white dwarfs. Our sun is probably going to become a white dwarf. It's going to get big, become a red giant, and then just kind of blow out all of its
and then go small
mass
again.
And then go small again. Either into kind of like a nebula or into a white dwarf.
Oh my God, it freaks me out.
Won't the sun expand and like consume Earth before
it explodes? What did I just say?
Yeah, that's the red giant phase.
That's me freaking out.
Okay, we'll move on.
Don't have to worry about it exploding.
It's going
to
happen.
I know. I don't want to be there when I don't. By the way, I know I won't be there when it does. If anyone got that wine and it makes it in the edit, like I don't want the people who listen to the podcast think I'm stupid.
You'll still be on Earth, just not life.
Let's move on before he breaks.
So, if you want to kind of gauge for how big stellar black holes are, one that we've seen, well, not seen, but measured,
can't see it,
is 40 miles across, which is roughly 3 times the length of Manhattan.
Christ.
That's smaller than I was expecting, though.
Yeah, it's quite small. But, I mean, it's got a lot
still
of mass.
Still big enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, in that space, there is enough mass to be the same as 11 suns.
Jeez.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
But in 40 miles, bro.
Yeah, it's a lot of mass.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And another one is one in a galaxy. I think the galaxy is called M33. It's 58 miles across, and it has 15.7 suns inside of it.
Blimey. Yeah.
Now, because I am quite obtuse, you've said so many things, including primordial black hole,
stellar black hole.
You've talked about proton spheres and extinction, elimination chambers. Yeah. The elimination chamber is wrestling. Yeah, event horizon. You said all of these words, and I'm just going with it, but it could be that you're reading to me from your science fiction novel, and I have no clue.
Yeah, I feel like that a lot of the time. These are actually things that I've already know about, though.
So yeah,
I feel like Luke in this episode.
You can be my Luke today, great.
I'm going to be Luke today.
Yeah.
But no, I'm totally with you. Most episodes, I'm just like...
Stop fibbing.
To be fair, a lot of this stuff does just sound like science fiction, because it involves, like... quantum mechanics as well, we're going to get into in a little bit.
Oh my God, really?
Just a little bit, just a touch.
Okay.
Last time we had a quantum episode, it was
painful.
It was painful.
Yeah, but hopefully that one has set everyone up for this, so we'll get there. Another type of black hole. You guys must know what this is. It's a very famous album.
The Velvet Rope.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Oh, Supermassive Black Hole.
It's a song. I don't know music.
Yeah, it is a song.
Is it a song?
It is a song, yeah.
Just a song? Yeah.
I don't know the lyrics.
We'll get copyright strikes.
You'll get copyright strikes from that.
No, it's a cover. It's a cover.
It was very good. Yeah, so those are very, very big, and we don't really know how those formed.
So it's not a clever name. They are super massive.
No, they are super massive.
So someone was trying to describe it and just went, that black hole is big. And they go, is it big?
It's super massive.
Yeah, black hole. Actually came from people describing Oprah, but whatever.
unnecessary.
Dan's face. I know you can't see this, but Dan's face just stretched to be...
It's the most offended I've
Ironically, it was super massive, the gasp that I just made.
It's a super massive hole.
I think that's outrageous. How dare you? Anyway.
Supermassive black holes.
Yeah.
Those are the things that are in like the center of galaxies, right?
Yeah. So we think those are probably as old as the galaxies that they are in.
Emotional.
So when you picture a galaxy, the giant light in the middle... of a galaxy that's like twirling. That's the black hole, right?
Yeah, there'll probably be a black hole in the center of a galaxy that mass rotates around. Because it kind of follows...
I always wondered about that. I was like, how does the galaxy stay together?
Because when you get outside of the black... It's all being sucked in.
Well, it's kind
of being
orbiting,
sucked in.
Right?
I mean, yeah, so it's not... So a black hole isn't like taking a plug hole out the bath.
Right.
It functions essentially the same as anything with mass. gravity functions the same, yeah, so long as you're outside that event horizon.
The same way, okay, the moon comes around us. But
yeah,
that analogy of the bathtub is quite useful, because I, like, in my head, I just imagine that we're all swirling and slowly getting closer to the middle of the black hole.
No, so it you can orbit around it. Right, just the same way as you can orbit around anything.
Okay.
So it's more like the Earth with the sun rather than a black hole.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Mm. So you don't need to worry.
I've learned things.
Yeah. What's your star sign?
Wow, are we going here?
We're going here.
Do you know the star signs?
No.
If I tell you my birthday, you can't. Okay,
I honestly can't.
Just tell me your star sign, please.
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay.
Capricorn.
You're a Taurus.
I'm a Taurus.
Yeah. You're a Tory?
I'm a Taurus, not a Tory.
James is a Tory. Everyone send him hate. So, please, Sagittarius, don't. Unfortunately, neither of you guys are. Sagittarius A is the black hole at the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way.
Wow.
Yeah. This is 14.6 million miles in diameter.
Ooh. Oh my god.
That is super massive.
It's really big.
It's quite large.
It's much bigger than the previous, which is like three Manhattans, which is tiny.
It's a lot bigger than 40 miles.
And I'm sat there going like, 40 miles? I wouldn't do that in a day.
Yeah, so 40.6 million miles, which is about 168 times the diameter of Jupiter.
Oh, that makes me want to be a bit sick. You know those pictures where they just put things next to each other for scale?
Oh my god,
those videos online where it just goes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Also, I wouldn't go so far as to call it a phobia, but things that are too big freak me out.
To seem real.
You know when you stand next to a wind turbine?
No, I don't like that.
Do you know what I mean? It stresses. Oh, I went on the Golden Gate Bridge and I was like,
this is too big.
It's too big.
Awful. It was like amazing. It's a beautiful piece of construction. Well done, Mr. Golden Gate Bridge. But I was so stressed out because it was too big. Or like you go in the sea.
Oh, it's so deep.
I don't want to know about that.
Do you know those pictures where it's like, here's a picture of you. Yeah. Here's the size of a blue whale. Yeah, and here is how deep the Mariana Trench is.
This is how deep it goes.
I don't want to know how deep that is.
I totally get you.
I want to know what's down there.
Yeah.
But
well,
I am not going there.
I learned to scuba dive when I was like 15. And then they took us all the way down to like, it was only like 20 meters or so. But I was like, this is way too deep for me.
So I did the same thing, scuba diving, and I went over a ridge thinking that this was the floor.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No, it goes down further.
And that stressed me out a lot.
Most of light is absorbed when you hit like 10 meters down in water. So going down 20 meters.
Yeah. You can't see. Yeah, it's the point where you can't see the floor and you also can't see the surface.
It's like that point where you know, when you're going across the English Channel to France and you can see England and in France at the same time. Yeah. It's like the opposite of that.
Fun.
It's
the opposite of that.
But you can see nothing.
Either. Yeah.
Like,
and in fact, you can completely lose orientation. Like if you're in if you're in, say, a car crash and you go into water, you won't know what way is up and what way is down. If that ever happens, by the way, breathe out a little bit and follow the bubbles.
Follow the
bubbles will always go up.
Well, that's quite a useful tip.
Yeah.
There you go. I can promise you, if that ever happens, I ain't making it out.
I wouldn't expect you
which
to.
Way?
To,
my bubbles
to be
going?
Perfectly honest, I wouldn't.
Like, be calm enough to be like, right, just breathe out and follow the bubbles.
That way. I don't expect you to be chill. You know, when you're freaking out trying to break the
There'll
window,
be bubbles
just be
going
like
every which way. Let me tell you.
Guide me, bubbles.
Okay, shall we get back to supermassive black holes?
Yeah.
Yes, away from bubbles.
Would love to.
Cool.
I'd love to go from one terrifying nightmare to another. Let's do it.
So, you know, it's 168 Jupiters across, which is stupid big. It's 4 million suns worth of mass.
Christ.
And that's a small one.
That's a small supermassive black hole.
That's a tiny supermassive black hole.
Yes, it is. So,
right.
They can contain the mass of the order of hundreds of thousands to billions the times the mass of the sun. So this one is only 4 million, so it's not that big. Billions sometimes the mass of the sun.
It's not that big, don't worry.
Right. It's quite minuscule, actually.
It's like this tiny little
negligible
thing.
In many ways.
Just disregard it.
But I mean, billions of times the mass of the sun. It's incomprehensibly big.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not even that big, because you think it'd be huge.
It's just
obviously
dense.
It is, but it's dense.
It's dense.
Right.
Really dense. So they're kind of weird, supermassive black holes, in terms of their density, though, because
clearly,
the way that it's measured to like the event horizon or the Schwarzschild radius.
The what?
So a Schwarzschild radius is essentially the kind of where the event horizon is for a non-rotating black hole. That you can calculate that. So because it's kind of measured to that, the density, some of them can be less dense than water if you take the mass that's in it compared to where like I said. This is not stuff that I fully understand myself.
I don't think humans fully understand it, full stop.
Yeah, exactly. And when I say I don't understand it myself, it's because people don't understand.
Corey has all human knowledge.
Yes, I have it all inside of me, but, you know, we just don't know it yet.
I'm baffled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm lost. I'm bereft.
Yeah.
Speaking of having all human knowledge, so I was reading...
This was going to be a segue to your ad. Like, do you know what I mean? Speaking of all human knowledge, sign up to...
So, speaking of all,
speaking
human,
of all
knowledge,
human knowledge, Audible.com has over 150,000 books.
Don't say it. Not until they pay us. Not until they pay us. So, all human knowledge, that's a lot of information. A black hole you can essentially get by having a lot of information in one space.
Oh.
Do you understand?
What, an analogy? He really pulled that one out of the bag.
It's not an analogy. For information, you need energy or mass, right?
Oh, my God. I genuinely thought we were talking about light science, but now you've just said the phrase, for information, you need energy and mass.
So think about how you send a text message.
Yeah.
It's basically, you type it in on your phone, and then it sends that message off in the air in the form of an electromagnetic wave.
Like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
What?
I don't know what film you watched.
What are you talking
Willy
about?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The Gene Wilder Willy Wonka.
Yeah, no, I've seen the film. What are you...
Mike TV gets sent in the air.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was like, when do they talk about electromagnetic
waves? Yeah, they do. That very... Yeah, okay, so yeah.
Listen, that scene is iconic, and everyone listening to the show knew what I was talking about. Check your email inboxes this time.
Scienceport@gmail.com, let us know.
So you need energy in order to have information. If there's no energy or no mass, you've got no information.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair to say. I need energy at all points in the day.
What I'm trying to say is that if you have a lot of information, energy or mass, in one space, it will form a black hole. So having all human knowledge inside of you...
You would make you implode.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make you implode, but theoretically, you can make a black hole from that.
Oh, wow. You
can compress it into a small enough space.
That's a Marvel story.
That it could be a Marvel story, couldn't it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, no, he's tense, getting all man. Human... His power is the villain wants to get all human information.
And then he turns into a black hole, and because it's such a small black hole, it just... It goes.
Well.
I was saying that the density of supermassive black holes can be less than water.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah,
In some cases.
Yeah.
And that's just because the Schwarzschild radius is directly proportional to the mass. We've been on the Schwarzschild radius. We've spoken about it.
Yeah.
Yeah? So
the Schwarzschild radius.
Yes.
I mean, you know this.
Obviously.
We know this.
So since the volume of a spherical object, so the volume of a sphere is directly proportional to the cube of the radius.
I was just going
to
say.
4/3 pi r cubed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, tip of my tongue. Tip of my tongue.
Never like the back of my hand.
The density of the black hole is inversely proportional to the square of the mass.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is bigger black holes have lower density.
Thank you.
That's a good way of putting it.
That's the explanation. Okay. For anyone that did understand.
How have we taken this long to get there? That's such simple information.
I tried to do all the formula stuff in my head.
I'm describing
Schwarzkopf and Swarovski radiuses. And all I needed to know was that bigger black holes have a lower density. Thanks very much for listening to this.
I'm trying to tell you why, Dad. I'm helping you learn.
Oh, there's more.
So, as I said, we don't know where supermassive black holes came from.
Where did they come from? Where did they go?
Where did you come from?
Supermassive
black hole.
Are you talking about Nicki Minaj?
Who's on your hit list? You've come for Oprah? Everyone. You've gone for Nicki Minaj? What did these people do to you?
So, I say astrophysicists. I'm not one.
We, us three.
Yeah, us three. We all agree that, right? A black hole in place in the center of a galaxy can grow by getting matter in and merging with other black holes, right? Well, we can all agree on that.
I can test that, but whatever.
They combine to make bigger black holes.
Yeah, so if two black holes come together.
Like a Megazord in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yes, much like a Megazord, except it doesn't split apart afterwards.
Oh, yeah, the Megazord does split apart.
It does split apart, doesn't it? That's kind of the point of the Megazord. Mm. Should we get back to the science on this science podcast that we do?
I think so.
Small black holes, not stable, much like Dan.
Can they suck in themselves?
Yeah, so essentially, I guess not really. They kind of shrink.
Like me at the gym.
Well, you don't go to the gym, Dan.
Excuse me. I was there today. Anyway.
So Hawking, one of the things that he did was kind of discover Hawking radiation, which is something that's predicted that black holes give out. Essentially, it reduces the rotational energy and the mass of a black hole. So if there's like kind of two kind of quantum particles right near the event horizon...
Yes.
Yeah. And they are linked. And one of them crosses the event horizon and the other one doesn't.
Oh.
And goes out.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
Except they both die.
The second one throws itself into the black hole.
That's a spoiler, but fine.
I'm sorry for spoiling the...
How long has it been out? 1,300
years.
500 years, really? Good. Sorry for the spoilers, guys. Yeah, so one of them will essentially go into the black hole and the other one will shoot out. So it will emit energy, which causes the black hole to lose energy. It's essentially a net loss.
That's actually less like Romeo and Juliet, more like the end of Titanic.
Sure.
You're so good at these.
Wait, pop culture is that references. In a way of, is that almost like, is that killing the black hole?
Yeah, so it's
so
losing.
There's two, one of them crosses the event horizon, they're linked, and the other one doesn't. The one that goes in almost like neutralizes the black hole.
So it's, well, yeah, so it's basically because one of them is leaving, it's kind of emitting energy. So it's losing mass, it's kind of getting smaller.
Right.
So it will get smaller and smaller to the point that the one that's leaving
will be
enough mass to take out the energy of the black hole.
Mm. Okay.
Like I said, this is something that Stephen Hawking came up with, so it's well above my pay grade.
Yeah, why? On what planet did you think, oh, I'll bring Dan in and I'll
and we'll talk
to him
about Hawking
quantum
radiation.
Physics?
I'm going to be honest, Dan, I had another topic and I had to change it because it was too much.
Wow, what was that topic?
What was it?
I can find out.
No.
If you want to know.
No, save it for next time.
Okay, so we've talked about black holes, the different types of black holes,
and
how you can make a black hole smaller. Have we talked about how to make a black hole?
We talked about where the star collapses.
Yeah. So
we talked about that one.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
There is one way to make a black hole, and that's just compress mass.
Yeah.
So you need to, essentially, so if you want to make Earth a black hole, for instance, you'd want to squash it to being less than an inch across.
And that makes a black hole. So you could make the Earth a black hole?
I mean, you couldn't literally squash the Earth into being a black hole. But
need big hands.
Well, yeah, so Trump can do
quite,
it.
Quite big.
Hey.
Topical, woo!
There we go.
So you've essentially got to concentrate mass or energy to the point that the escape velocity of that region of space is greater than the speed of light.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so the escape velocity is the minimum speed you need to reach in order to escape the pull of an object's gravitational pull. You're getting me right. Escape velocity is black holes.
Should we explain that the speed of light is the fastest you can possibly travel?
Okay, we should explain that. I just assumed that was... I thought that was a given. Do you know that the speed of light is the fastest you can go?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
If you have no mass, right?
So if you've got mass, the fastest you can... Well...
If you've got mass, you can't reach the speed of light.
Yeah, so the speed of light is the barrier
for
things with mass. You can't pass the speed of light.
Yeah.
And as you get faster, because of physics being weird... you will become essentially infinitely massive to the point doesn't work. You can't pass the speed of light.
Okay.
Okay?
How much faster is the speed of light than the speed of sound?
Much, much faster. Very. Oh, this is something I should know.
Do you know what I learned about the speed of sound?
Mm-hmm.
Was when I went with my older brother to see a Stockport County football match and the player kicked the ball, but I didn't hear the sound until a bit after the player kicked the ball.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a trip. And my brother was like, no, that's just the speed of sound. And I was like, oh, okay.
Slower than
light. So it's the point that you can see fireworks and then hear them a solid bit later.
Yeah.
Or the reason why thunder comes after lightning.
Yes.
Oh, is that not how you measure how far away it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that too?
It's essentially you use the difference, like the speed of sound as a measure for how far away it is.
That's real science. That's not just another wise tale.
Well, essentially you can kind of, you can figure it out because light is basically, if you take light as being instantaneous... You can measure based on you'd measure how long it takes for between that and the sound to come to be okay, that's the distance.
Wow,
there you go. You've learned something.
Yeah,
good. I've done my job. So, do you know what could happen inside of a black hole?
Nothing. You told us that.
No, we just don't know what happens.
All right. Well, then you go in it and become a ghost.
Okay. So, what could happen inside of a black hole?
You could go in and become a ghost and speak to your daughter
through
a bookcase.
Through a bookshelf.
Yeah.
You could also go in and speak to your dad from a long time ago, like in Contact.
So, you can basically, first off, you will not fall into a black hole. I can pretty comfortably say that everyone listening to this is probably never going to experience falling into a black hole.
Well, that's no lovely. One has yet, so that's.
We wouldn't know if they did.
Like the idea that you pop out of another one.
Yeah, okay, so there is a theory that you could then come out of in another region of space.
That's fun, isn't it?
Or you go into a different universe, right?
Yeah,
What?
Basically, because inside a black hole, it's just so massive. If you think of space-time as like a kind of sheet,
Mm-hmm.
That's like dropping a bowling ball on it. It's just going to stretch the sheet down to the floor.
Right.
And space-time is normally just kind of a little bit bumpy, but this is just a massive...
Space-time is basically what space is made of.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain. Basically, it's like if you think of it as like a tablecloth.
Yeah,
a black hole is an infinite stretching down of that tablecloth forever.
But it's not taut enough to pop back up.
No. It won't pop back up. It's just, you go down into it forever.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a shame. But essentially, it bends, a black hole is so massive that it bends space-time to the point of the laws of physics just not really applying as we know them. And because black holes have information inside of them, but we can't get it because it can't come out. We can only tell how big the black hole is.
Yeah.
And if it's got spin or not.
Right.
That's the only information we can discern from a black hole. How much information is in it and whether it's spinning or not.
Much like in tennis.
Do tell why that's...
Well, if you're giving analysis on tennis, you want to know all the information of a serve and whether or not the serve had spin.
Good. Okay.
I'm helping the masses.
You're mostly there, and I'm not going to dispute it. I'm just going to move on.
Andrew Castle talking about black holes. That's what I'm after.
So if a black hole the size with the mass of the sun were to replace the sun, like I said, Earth wouldn't fall into it.
Right, but we'd all be dead anyway.
We're far enough away.
Yeah, we'd be dead because we
wouldn't have... There's no sun.
Yeah. But no, it's not that we're far enough away. If you think about it, it's just exchanging mass for mass. So the...
Oh, we're talking about mass, not...
Size.
I thought physical size.
Yeah, so the same mass as the sun.
The same mass
It
as
would
the sun. Yeah.
Not suck in the Earth because we wouldn't be past the event horizon because that would...
It'd be tiny, wouldn't it?
It'd be quite small.
Yeah.
So we'd be fine. In fact, we wouldn't notice a difference gravitationally.
Right.
So like I said, basically it's impossible for any of us to fall into a black hole.
That's
not gonna
comforting
happen.
In many ways.
But if you did fall into a black hole,
oh.
This is what would happen. And I've taken this mostly from a lecture from Stephen Hawking. So like I said, from the outside, you can't tell what's in a black hole. So as you're falling in, as Stephen Hawking has said, falling in is kind of like going over the Niagara Falls in a canoe. If you're before the event horizon, if you're before the edge of the falls, you can paddle away.
It's quite lovely, actually. It's quite an experience.
Yeah, paddling it's away
good,
for your
good,
life.
Good
yeah.
But as you get closer to the edge, the current gets faster and it's harder to paddle away. If you
and
hit the edge...
You would then... If you wanted like to do sports analysis, they would draw a line of the event horizon where it's like, cross that and you're
where the current
screwed.
Is too strong for you to paddle
yeah.
away.
Okay. Which is... So that's the edge.
That is a very helpful analysis, Stephen.
Yeah. Once you... it's his job. If you hit the edge, you are going over. There's no going back. You're going over. And you'd probably get ripped apart. Which is the same for smaller black holes. If you think about it, if you're going in feet first, your feet would... be at the event horizon before the rest of your body, so
that's
they
true.
Would be they would experience that first,
right?
So it would stretch you out and squash you, and this is literally called spaghettification.
I forgot about this term.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's essentially just I as far as I'm aware, that's only with smaller black holes that they just pull you out infinitely.
Yeah.
And someone that
that's quite Ooh. horrific.
Yeah. So if you'd kind of be torn apart, and that's before you even kind of
reach the black hole.
Yeah. So from someone that's watching from outside, an outside observer, what they would see is as you get closer towards the edge of the black hole,
you would slow down. Yeah.
And there'd also kind of be red shifting.
Yeah, because you kind of fade out of existence, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it kind of looked like that. But it's like this kind of ad infinitum, like kind of slowing down.
Yeah.
You look
quite terrified.
Okay,
still thinking about being terrified.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. So
I don't want it.
So you're watching your friend go into the black hole.
I don't want to think about that.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's fine. They are real. They are out there.
That's what...
But it's not real.
Okay.
But they are out there, and it could happen.
Well,
but it won't.
You told me seconds ago that it wouldn't.
But it could.
Right.
It could, but it won't.
So essentially, you'd just get dimmer and dimmer and redder and redder until you were just. Yeah, until you faded out, until you were gone.
You'd never actually see your friend reach the black hole, would you?
No.
They would just kind of slow down and then eventually stop and freeze.
Yeah. But you wouldn't see them.
Like, end credits.
Yes.
Yeah. Essentially, watching your friend go into a black hole is not a fun experience.
I don't imagine it would be. I didn't need to come on the show for you to tell me that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I thought I'd let you know.
Oh, well, thanks.
I told you guys at the start. You've probably forgotten by now. I was going to tell you about people that took a picture of a black hole.
They took a picture of one?
Yeah, they took a picture of it.
Sorry,
do you guys remember
it?
That?
Yeah, what, recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier on this year.
Oh, yeah. And it was blurry, right?
Yeah.
That's
have you seen
right,
the, you've seen the picture?
I don't... yes, but I don't really remember. I don't think I looked at it too long because it scared me.
Let's just get it up.
Great, thanks.
It's kind of like the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah, I remember that.
And for everyone listening, I'll leave a link to this in the description. We'll also tweet it on our Twitter account, so check there. and you'll be able to see it. This is what it looks like.
It's very
quite. See what I mean? Yeah. It's like an eclipse.
I mean,
kind of. Yeah,
I guess.
Do you see what I mean? Because it's a black bit, and then all of the white is,
yeah,
the light rather.
I mean, I see what you mean. Yeah,
it's very blurry though.
It is. Well, it's blurry. So
I think it's a challenge for you, faithful listeners. Look at that image while playing that bit from 2001: A Space Odyssey, where it's like, and you'll just freak out for about an hour.
So how did they take a picture of a black hole?
With a camera. Well, they went point and shoot, click.
They didn't take a picture of the black hole. It's not really a picture of the black hole. It's,
oh, what?
Well, it's an image that they produced using the Event Horizon Telescope,
right,
which is essentially the Event Horizon Telescope Project, which is a network of 8 ground-based telescopes around the world. So it collected a lot of data and then produced that image.
Right.
So obviously the black hole itself is invisible because, oh, and did I mention before, that's why I said perfect black body.
In that makes sense. Okay.
Light, yeah. I realized I didn't explain this. It's a perfect black body in that light can't escape it. So it is as black as anything can be.
Yeah,
in that there is no light coming off of it whatsoever.
Do you see a video of that person? They've like developed an incredibly black paint. But
oh,
obviously
the Vanta Black.
You can't really, yeah, but you can't really see it in the video because the video is recording all it can. Like, it's the same as, like, I've heard there's a room that's so quiet that you go in it and you can hear your blood rushing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the quietest room.
I think Tom Scott went there.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did.
Had to drop Tom Scott.
Tom Scott.
Head, didn't you?
I love Tom Scott.
I love Tom Scott.
He talks about Tom Scott every single episode.
Tom Scott is brilliant. I love the fact that he spends his whole life just going to places that are like, oh, that's a bit curious, and then leaving. Like, it's brilliant. He went to a place where there's like this one solar powered train that goes back and forth, and he went there and then left. Like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I can't come to the party. He's like, I can't come to the party. I'm off in America for the 4th of July, looking at this amazing thing. I'm like, okay, cool.
I'm sorry, I can't come hang out. Today I'm in a library, wherein if I cross the library, I will be in a different country.
Oh my god, yeah.
Great. Cool. You have Tom Scott has the best getting out of party excuses of anyone I've ever heard in my life.
He once drove through Russia without a passport. You know, that there's this road that you drive through. You're driving from one country to another. You are not allowed to stop the car. There are people watching on towers, and essentially if you stop, they'll probably come and shoot you. So you can drive through.
So you've got to hope you've got enough petrol.
Yeah, that's literally the joke that he made.
Well, there you go.
But it's, yeah. So you can't stop. Your tire, like, you blow a tire, don't stop.
All jokes aside, yeah. What happens
that's
if your car fucks up?
Exactly.
How long would anyone do that?
Not very long. I think maybe less than a mile, probably.
Oh, probably.
It does not take long to drive across.
That's fine.
But it's...
Honestly,
I love Tom Scott videos. I just sit and watch them.
No, Tom Scott is fascinating. Very good man. Yeah, he is. Have him on the show. It will have him on the show, and it will make up for this.
Oh my god, he is my genuinely he is my dream guest.
Well, thank you.
Well, I don't.
We could get him.
I'm not going to lie to you, Dan.
That's fair.
You're close.
But he would come on, and he'd take my role, so I take your role.
Yeah, that's fair. That's also quite accurate.
I'd leave.
Yeah, we just have to bring it up.
Yeah.
So the black hole that they took a picture of is called Messier 7. MESSIER 87.
Oh, literally Messier.
Messier, yeah.
Messier 87.
So it is very, very, very big. I don't have exact numbers on how big it is.
Big as in size or big as in mass?
Both.
Is it a supermassive black hole?
I think it is. I mean, we wouldn't be able to get a picture of it otherwise, I think. It hasn't explicitly said in the places that I've read that it's a supermassive black hole.
Okay.
But I believe it is a supermassive black hole.
That's intense.
So, Professor Heino Falke, God, I'm so sorry. I think that's his name, Heino Falke, of Radboud University in the Netherlands.
Radboud University. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about black holes in the Netherlands.
They're just high as a kite all the time.
Right.
You're telling me that this university in the Netherlands calls itself Rad and spends all its time looking at black holes and they're not high? I'm sorry. This is the place to get your education.
Yeah. So, this is the guy that proposed the experiment.
Of course he did.
And he said that the black hole was found in a galaxy called M87.
Right.
And then what he went on to say was, what we see is larger than the size of our entire solar system.
What?
So it is a supermassive black hole.
It has to be.
Yeah. It has a mass of 6.5 billion times that of the sun, and it's one of the heaviest black holes that we think exists.
Oh, wow.
In his words, it's an absolute monster. the heavyweight champion of black holes in the universe.
That's a supermassive black hole.
Did he say it like Michael Buffer?
The heavyweight champion of black holes.
I don't think he did.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Please welcome to the ring.
That's Michael Buffer. That's that man.
Thank you. Thanks. You're bringing too much culture to
Look,
this.
I can't help you with science, but I can give you pop culture references for days.
It lies 55 million light years away from us.
That's fine then, isn't it?
It's about 100 billion kilometres wide.
Right.
So it's a bit of a trek.
It's quite a few Jupiters.
Yeah, it's quite a few. Maybe a couple. A
couple.
At least. And it's bigger than the entire, like I said, bigger than the entire solar system. And I've said all this, 6.5 billion times the mass of our sun. It's a big boy. It's real big.
It's quite hefty, isn't it?
It's literally beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Think of the biggest, thing you can think of. Not, no.
Well, Corey.
Okay. Now double that size.
That's a lot.
Multiply it by 100. Whatever you do to it, it is still not nearly as big as That's this true. Black hole. You literally cannot comprehend how big this is.
I don't want to. Is the thing. I don't want to comprehend. I will live the rest of my life.
Quite comfortable not comprehending.
Plausible deniability. I don't want to know how big that black hole is. I'm all right with that.
That's fine, yeah.
You know?
Fair enough. I mean, everything that we know, this entire planet
doesn't exist.
Three things in my life. You know, they're like, tick off all of these bucket list things.
Mm.
Three things in my life that I don't need to tick off any bucket list ever. I don't need to swim with sharks. I'm fine, really.
Oh, it's fun, though.
No, I don't want to. They're terrifying. I don't need to swim with sharks. I don't need to jump out of a plane. Like, I'm all right with never I'm fine with never experiencing that. And I'm fine with not knowing how big that black hole is. I'm fine with all of that.
Next episode, we're going to be taking Dan
in that order, right?
to the black hole and pushing him in it.
Jumping out of a plane into the black hole.
Could you imagine jumping out of a plane into a shark tank? No, thank you.
Yeah, but the shark tank is being dropped into a black hole, much like the Avengers with Thor. You know,
I
want to
vomit.
Dropped. So what you could see around it, the kind of Eye of Sauron bit, that's essentially...
The blurry bit.
Yeah, the blurry bit. That's around the edge of the black hole. That's superheated gas that's falling into it.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So when you heat something up, that's how light bulbs work. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. If you heat something up, it will emit light. And this gas is being superheated. Kind of like how halogen lights.
Because it's excess energy.
Like, yeah. Kind of like how halogen lights work.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's being sucked into a black hole so fast that it's heating and then giving light out so that we can see it.
Christ.
Yes. It's
heavy, isn't it?
It's real heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the light is brighter than all of the billions of other stars in that galaxy combined. Which is why it can be seen
here
on Earth.
Lovely.
But also,
millions of light years
what's
away.
Horrifying is that, again, because it's how many millions of light years away?
55.
55? Yeah, it's 55 million light years away.
I paid attention.
Well done, guys.
I don't understand any of it, but I'm listening.
Yeah, got the numbers.
But that's 55 million light years in the past that we're looking at it.
Oh, that's... I don't
oh,
want...
Yeah.
No, that's... No.
Because it takes 55 million years to get here.
It doesn't know that the dinosaurs are gone.
What, I mean... Just. Well, no, it doesn't. No, sorry. No, it doesn't even know now because it doesn't know about the dinosaurs yet.
Does it still exist?
It could not. But it in all likelihood, it's so big, it probably does.
Oh, my God.
But that's the issue. The farther away you look... Like, if you're looking as far away as possible, you're looking at earlier and earlier in time to the start of the universe.
Ah, now, here's a thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fight with my physics teacher when I was in year 9 because I couldn't accept his answer when I said, hello, you know the Big Bang?
Mm-hmm.
What was there before that? And he goes, nothing. And I was like, I can't accept that.
How old were you?
Actually, no, to be fair, I did have that same feeling
because
as a teenager.
When they're like, it's like nothing was there and then it exploded. Hang on, I've just left a chemistry lesson where we talked about catalysts and how you need a catalyst to start. Things can't just happen. So what was there before the Big Bang? And he was like, ah, now you're confusing. And I'm like, and I'm not confusing anything. Answer my question. And he couldn't.
But
and
time,
I was very upset about it.
Time didn't... Okay,
that's
so,
what he said. You're about to say what he said and I still don't accept it.
Right,
time didn't exist.
No, but if
you can't get something from nothing... That's a Jesse Ware lyric, I think.
But what I'm saying is that if you think about it, time didn't exist before the Big Bang.
No.
Like, there wasn't... There's no concept.
Time as we know.
We don't have... Yeah, so we've got no concept for what happened before the Big Bang because...
Why not? Why haven't we thought about that?
We've been trying
We've thought about everything else, but we've not thought about that.
Well,
it's quite difficult about it. We're trying.
I'm asking you specifically,
Corey.
Why haven't you thought about that?
We've popped a pin in it, okay?
Right.
And we'll get back to it. We'll circle back.
Let's
now, to be
out
clear, I
universe.
Don't need an answer. I just need someone to admit that nothing is wrong.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
Thank you.
Okay,
very
hold
kindly.
On. Let me call up all the scientists.
Just so tell them to listen, send them this link.
I'll send it to them. Okay, good. If you guys, if anyone listening knows a scientist, send them this.
But please don't tweet me, because genuinely, I don't actually want to think about it. I just want to throw a cat among the pigeons and run away.
So that is all about that black hole. Obviously, the dark circle at the center is the black hole beyond the event horizon. It doesn't exist in terms of...
That's a great name for a book, Beyond the Event Horizon.
Probably is already.
Probably exists. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, essentially, what I'm saying is in that picture, that isn't the black hole in the center, that black bit. That's
just...
Yeah, we've not got a picture of that.
Yeah.
We've basically got a picture of the gas around it, but nothing really of the black hole itself.
You can see why people would be confused.
It's difficult.
That literal black hole is a black hole.
Yeah, you can't comprehend not being able to see anything.
Beyond the Event Horizon by Frederick Pohl.
Well done, Mr. Pohl.
Mr. Pohl.
But we're not plugging it. Unless he pays us.
I think he's dead.
Is it available on Audible?
I don't care.
It is available to buy, actually.
Don't mention them. No, they're going to have to pay us first.
Can I prime it?
Don't mention any brands.
No, you shouldn't prime it. Prime is killing the book industry. Oh my god, fuck
free
Amazon.
Shipping.
Oh yeah,
and
Dan cares because
I care about books.
He's an author.
Yeah.
You'll find out about
I am.
So, essentially, what this means is because we created an image of the black hole, which people thought was impossible, it's made a breakthrough in the understanding of black holes, which is very understandable.
That's quite nice, isn't it? It's what you're after, a breakthrough.
So it's kind of proving that they exist. We've kind of done that in different ways before, but this is another kind of breakthrough in saying, yeah, they do exist, because otherwise they're kind of theoretical and difficult to measure because you literally can't measure them.
Yeah.
They're frustrating.
I always imagine when people talk about that, someone going up with a tape from B&Q, you know, and just like trying to stretch out the measure.
It's like trying to measure how long the air in your... Like the air is, you know, like you just you can't measure it.
Can't really do it.
It's not. There's no concept for it.
But like, are there people trying to do that? Because you sort of don't need to.
People trying to measure
air.
I was just trying to explain how, because black holes are literally the most invisible thing you can think of.
Yeah,
it's difficult to measure.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't mean people are literally measuring air with measuring tapes.
Some people might.
I'm sure someone is.
I think
is.
They are, you know, because they sell cans of air in, I think it's China. Because there's so much pollution, they sell cans of air.
Oh, cans of fresh air.
That's fucked. We do this joke way too much, but that's dystopian.
That is. Oh, man, so many things are dystopian.
Yeah, I don't like doing that joke. Yeah.
Like America right now. Have you heard of that?
The backpack, bulletproof backpack.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bulletproof backpacks.
For essentials for school. Because rather than fix the problem... We're just going to just give everyone
bulletproof backpacks.
They're
trying to fix the problem, Dan, but it's hard to get rid of video games because, as we all know, video games...
Yeah, we don't have video games over here, and that's why...
We don't. That's never why played we have one. No shootings.
Yeah.
The image is going to help physicists understand how black holes work better.
Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to help test the theory of general relativity, which is what Einstein came up with. Okay. You know that. You know it, Dan.
E equals MC squared.
Yeah, there we go. Good.
Okay.
And I don't know what that is, but yeah.
Energy is equal to mass times the speed of light squared.
Obviously.
It's kind of a formula for saying if you convert mass into energy, how much energy have you got?
Yeah, it is that, yeah. Could have told you that, but you didn't give me time.
I'm sorry, Dan. I'll give you more time next time. But unfortunately, we are out of time because that is the end of the episode.
Well done, everybody.
We reached the end.
Dan.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me on... I was going to give my postcode for comedy, and then I realised that was a mistake. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, Daniel J. Layton, L-A-Y-T-O-N.
Good.
Like the professor, not like the East London.
Professor Layton, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for coming, Dan.
That's
thanks
a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
You can find the full references for this episode in the description or subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
That makes it sound like your handle is at Jamkin everywhere.
Just no one follow Dan. Goodbye.
You can follow him nowhere.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Have you seen that video about Oprah liking bread?
Oprah likes
bread. So Oprah did a campaign for, like, I want to say Weight Watchers, but it might be a different thing.
Oh my god, yes.
And she just talked, and it's though someone made a supercut of her saying, I love bread. Bread! Bread is the best. And I was like...
I feel like I have seen that, but I thought it was like... edited.
I really did feel seen.
It's stuck in like, you know,
it is
edited.
Oh, it is.
But she absolutely said how many times she loves bread. Like, it's not like...
No, I thought someone dubbed over it. That's what
nope.
Oh, my God.
Oprah loves bread.